We've got another new Olivia here this morning. Kay, where you at? Wave at me. There you are. She's in the nursery or with the toddlers. Good. Praise the Lord. We have three Olivias in the church. I like that, don't you? Turn with me, if you would, to Acts chapter 16 and let me read some scripture with you. But first, let me preface the word this morning with this word to you. Have you ever had conflict in your life? If you have, say amen.
Amen.
Good. I'm not completely alone today. Conflict is a part of life. It always has been and will continue to be until Jesus calls for you. However, having the power to just survive conflict or living in the power to overcome our conflict is a matter of first, truly accepting who you are in Jesus. You're a branch. How many know you're a branch?
Yes.
Connected directly to a vine. How many know whose the vine is? Amen? And secondly, putting into action what you know to be true. So we know this. There's three things we're going to know this morning. There's no such thing as non-confrontational or non-offensive or unchallenged Christianity. We also know that the power of God cannot be bought or bargained for. Do you understand that? It's a result of a reciprocal relationship between the vine and the branch. That's all you have to be, is who you are. And above all, the power of God cannot be prevented if you'll just reach out and touch Him. Amen? In Acts the 16th chapter, the Bible tells us of a story of Paul and Silas. It tells us in chapter 16, verse 16, that it happened that they were going to the place of prayer, and a slave girl having a spirit of divination met them, and who was bringing her masters much profit by fortune-telling. She had a demonic spirit and a power that could tell people things about them. Now, let me explain something to you about demonic spirits and divination and fortune tellers. Fortune tellers can tell you everything that happened in the past, but they can't tell you what's going to happen in the future. That's a guess. That's a theory on their part, because only God knows the future. Satan is not omniscient. How many knows that? The devil is not omniscient. He is not omnipotent, and he is not omnipresent. He's one feller. He's one guy. He was created by God as one of the three archangels. He rebelled against God and carried with him one-third of the army of angels from heaven who fought against Gabriel and Michael, and they were cast down, or their eternal life was destroyed, living in heaven with God and being that what God had created them for. And Satan has made this earth his ruling place for a time, and the time will come, and he's going to come through his son Jesus Christ and take the church out, and we call that the rapture of the church. He's going to pull away and take the church out, and he is going to remove his spirit from this place, and Satan is going to have his little fling for just a few years, and then that seven-year period we call the Great Tribulation will be over, and at the end of the Great Tribulation, this great triumph of the millennial period will come, and the millennial period will lead into another small fallout, and then the great battle that ends all battles and the destruction of this earth as we know it and the heavens. And the Bible says there'll be a new heaven and a new earth, and God's going to do all things new and good. But Satan has limits, and his limits are intellectual like you are, and his limits are physical like you're limited. He has limits even though he's supernatural in the fact that he was created by God in angelic form. He still has limits. And so his presence that he puts in people, or the demonic influence that he put in people. This girl who was a slave girl that had a demon spirit in her of divination had limits as well. And so she was going around and telling all these things to people, and people were paying her, and she had masters that collected the money, and it was a money deal. You know, money seems to be the root of a lot of problems in the world today, doesn't it? We're very concerned about it. And I don't know if you know this or not, but at the end of time, when the Antichrist shows himself on this earth, the entirety of everything that the Antichrist is going to do is going to be based around a monetary system that's global. And so we have to be careful to understand this, and we've talked about it, and I know that you know it. Our economy is not based on a world economy. If you're a child of God, your economy is based on an economy that's founded by the Word of God. Amen? That's why it's important for you to pay your tithe. People say, oh boy, that one, you sneak that little advertisement in there handily. No, I want to tell you something, and I mean this. When I get to heaven and I stand before God, he's going to ask me a few things he's not going to ask you. As a shepherd and a pastor, he's going to say this: did you tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? And I'm going to look at him and say, Father God, you know that, and you know that I've done my best to do it. Did you tell them the full gospel? Have you told them the total story of salvation? Have you laid it out for people that I put in your presence for you to minister to, the truth of the Word of God? The fact that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, that he lived a sinless life, and in that sinless life, he died as one who was totally innocent, but took on the sins of everyone from Adam, the very first sin in the garden, till the last sin that will ever occur until the end of time. He took on himself, and he died, but on the third day, he rose triumphantly, and he's seated at the right hand of God, making intercession for you and I. And all we have to do is simply this, is call on the name of Jesus and ask him to forgive us of our sins. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So there's no one here today who wasn't at one time in sin and without Christ. And the difference between knowing your salvation, understanding that he has bought you with his precious blood and you're forgiven and not, is the renunciation of a life of sin and the acceptance of the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse and forgive you of your sin and to make you a new creation in Christ. Well, as we're recreated in Christ, we're not just saved with the point of the blood of Jesus coming and redeeming us. We are reborn, and in rebirth, we're growing exactly as it says we are. We're born again. So you come as a child, you come as a baby into the kingdom of God, and you grow as you mature, and the only way that you can mature is on the milk of the Word of God. To a child, we have to have milk for babies, and then meat for adults. And as we grow in maturity, and this Word goes from the milk stage to the meat stage, and we're able to digest it and absorb it, and with that comes understanding. And with understanding, we grow in power. Amen? We grow in power. And I want to talk about that today. If you look at the Word of God and see the disciples, you see the followers of Jesus Christ, their life changed from this 3.5 year sonnet that they took with Jesus as he walked on earth. After his death, burial, and resurrection, there was an enormous change in these guys for one reason, because they saw the display of power in the life of Jesus Christ in a different way. When they were gathered together after the crucifixion, after the burial, not aware of the resurrection, they were gathered together in the upper room, fearful of what was going to happen to them, fearful of the future. Jesus walks through the wall and stands in their presence and tells them, no longer do you have to be afraid. No longer do you have to fear. I have overcome everything, and I've done it for you. I didn't do it just to show the Pharisees. I didn't do it just to prove to the Sadducees there was a life after death. I didn't do it to the Roman government to show them I was more powerful. I died for the sins of every human being that ever breathed air so that they can, through me, have eternal life. And now I want you to attach yourself to me because I'm the vine. And I want your strength to be through me. I want your nutriments to be through me. I want your thinking and your understanding to be through me, because what I've done, no one else has, could, or will ever do. I'm the one and only Son of God. And so these men now are different men. You see, after the day of Pentecost, where Jesus says to them, I want you to go in terror, go wait in this place for the day of Pentecost, this feast that's coming. And on that day, I'm going to endue you with power. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit is poured out on these men in the upper room and these women, and they're filled with their presence. And all of a sudden, this new breed of Christian stands up. This one who lives in power, not obscurity. This one who lives in power, not fear. This one who needs the power of God, not just to get by, not just to get a surface relationship so their nose is just above the waterline of sin in their life and they're constantly bubbling, almost drowning back in an old life, but those that are able to overcome and live a new way and live a freedom from the sins and the lives that they had left behind. Well, these men were doing just that. And this slave girl that was following them had this spirit of divination. The Bible says it happened that as they were going from place to place, this is Paul and Silas, a slave girl having a spirit of divination met them, who was bringing her masters much profit by fortune telling. Chapter 16 of Acts, verse 17. Following after Paul and us, she kept crying out, these men are bond servants. Listen to this description that she gives, because she knows exactly who they are. Let me explain something to you right now. You may project something to people, but Satan knows who you are too. Amen? He knows the real you. He knows if you're dedicated to Christ or if you talk a good talk. He knows if you walk the walk with Christ or if it's self-serving or self-serving reasons. He understands. But this woman uses a description that's so clear. She says, these men are bond servants of the Most High God, who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation. How much more clear can it be than that? These men are going to tell you how to have your sins relieved, how the sins of your life are going to be taken away. These men are going to tell you how you can have freedom in your mind and in your spirit and your emotions. These men are going to tell you how you can lay down at night and rest and not have guilt any longer. But far greater than that, these men are going to tell you how to have power in your life, to be more than conquerors, more than just survivors, but someone who can not only make a difference in your own life, but in the lives of others around you. You see, I believe this thing called Christianity is more than just writing your name on a card or paying tithe into a church and showing up. I believe this thing that we call Christianity is a relationship with Jesus Christ that has an actual feeling attached to it, has emotions attached to it. I believe that it has power attached to it, that not only can we be a child of God, but we have the ability through the power of the Holy Spirit of God to be used by God to show fruit in our life as a child of God. So here's these men. They're showing the way of salvation. She continues doing this for many days. But Paul grew greatly annoyed, and he turned and said to the Spirit. Listen to this. He didn't talk to the little girl. She was captive by the Spirit. He turns to the Spirit and he says, I command you, what? I command you under the ministry of John the Baptist, or I command you under the Sanctuary of Hope's credentials. I command you under the word here that I just written. No, he said to her, I'm commanding you in the name that gave me salvation. I'm commanding you in the name that overcame death, that overcame hell, and overcame the grave. I'm commanding you in the name of Jesus, be gone from her. And the Bible says that his confrontation caused the enemy to flee. He said, Paul was greatly annoyed, and he turned to her and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus to come out of her. And I like the way that the word says, because this is a very true description of the way that it was answered here. And it came out. I like to it it, don't you? When it's the devil, it's an it, for as I'm concerned. I don't even respect it with a term. He said, and it came out of her, and change came over this woman's life. And the Bible says that I command you to come out, and it came out that very moment in verse 19. But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into prison. And they begin to say this, these men are throwing this city into confusion. He say, they're turning the world upside down. They're changing everything for two reasons here. Number one, they were met with a conflict, and the conflict was going to be confrontational, and it was going to be something that these men were going to have to acknowledge as an offense to God, and it was a challenge to the authority of what God stood for in their life. It was a challenge to the authority of the Word. Now, let me explain to you something in your walk with Christ today. If you're like Paul or you're like Silas, and you're in your everyday activities, wherever God has placed you in life, doing the calling that God has placed you to do, and you're confronted with a spiritual situation like this, what's going to be your reaction? How are you going to work and deal with something like this? Are you just going to ignore it? Paul tried that, and it didn't go away. He ignored it for days. He listened to this woman continually talking about it. But finally, he said this. He said, I understand that there is no such thing as non-confrontational Christianity. I understand that there's going to be offenses that come my way as a child of God. And I understand that my Christianity is going to be challenged. And so one of two things I have to do. I have to turn tail and walk away, or I have to confront the challenge and believe the word of God. And that's where we find out if we're a vine, if we're the branch connected to the vine, because the nutriment or the power or the authority that you're going to have in that day is solely based on what you're connected to. Are you connected to a person, an individual? There's not going to be much strength there. Are you connected to a doctrine or a denomination? There's not going to be much strength there. There's only one place where strength is found, and that's the vine. The vine's the place where we're going to have power. And we see where Paul believed in the word, and he understood who he was. And understanding who he was made the difference. He had this inward decision that he had to make, and then he had an outward decision that he had to make. The Bible says the crowds rose up against him. Man, they got mad when this happened, and they beat him and threw him in prison. And so now he sees the result of his decision, and he goes, maybe that wasn't so smart. Anybody ever been beat up for Jesus? Let me just explain something to you. Don't count the ball game over till all nine innings are finished. When trouble comes your way for standing for Christ, don't give up and succeed the game and say it's over. I can tell you, I know individuals in this room sitting here today by the scores who have said, I'm going to follow Jesus in absolute complete totality. I'm going to walk with him in absolute complete surrender. And the day they did, the mobs came and beat them up and put them in prison. I've watched businesses just seem to disappear. I've watched attacks on people's health. I've watched attacks on their integrity, on their character. I've watched sickness come and all kinds of things where one would say, you know, it'd been better if we'd just kept our mouth shut and just kind of gone to church and been all right, then that we wouldn't have these things happen. But when we started standing for the truth of the word, when we started living what we believe, when we started being what we were supposed to be in totality, here came the enemy. My friends, that's nothing new. It's happened from the beginning of time. When you make a stand on the enemy, there's going to be an attack come your way. Just get ready for it. But that's only the eighth inning. Let me tell you how the game ends. The Bible says that Paul and Silas were placed in prison. Not only that, but after they had been beaten and fastened their feet in stocks, they were put in maximum security. For what? For confronting a demonic spirit in a young lady and freeing her. But money was involved, and here they go, and they come after her. Now she's free, but at midnight, here's what Paul and Silas did. Paul and Silas said this: I'm not going to be held by these things. I'm not going to be changed by the fact that when we serve God, the enemy attacks. I'm going to stand on what I know to be truth and praise God. My friends, listen to me. When you do everything you can do to stand and the enemy comes against you, and he will, don't walk away. Don't give up. Don't doubt the presence of God. Just lift your hands in the middle of the night and begin to praise him, because he is found in the praise of his children. They begin to praise about midnight, verse 25. Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to this. My friends, listen to me. The way you react to adversity will draw attention to the world around you. Those that aren't Christians are going to watch you. They're going to look at you. They're going to see what you're doing when you're attacked by the enemy. Have you ever been attacked? Have you ever had the enemy come against your business or your home or your health? Every one of you have, if you've made a stand for Jesus Christ. But my friends, listen to me. How you react to that makes the difference. Begin to praise him. Begin to worship him. Begin to glorify him. Begin to thank him that you were found worthy to be put in that particular place, because he's going to show you what happens in praise. And about midnight, they were singing praises, and the prisoners were paying attention to this. And suddenly there came a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison house were shaken. And immediately, here's what happened. My friends, if you can, in the middle of your sickness, when it comes to you, when you were told everything was fine and then things change, if you can begin to praise him and not fall into despair, he will be faithful to you. I got to tell you something that happened yesterday. I got a phone call from my brother. Many of you know he's been fighting a terrible battle with diabetes, and they were ready to amputate one of his legs. And our church and his church in his hometown, we went to the Lord and began to pray, and there was a miraculous change in his life. You know, only 4 years ago, I led my brother to the Lord, who had not been saved previously to that point. And he accepted Jesus Christ, and he had some trials to go through, the loss of his wife and some different situations, and now the body is attacked by the enemy, and they're saying, well, we're going to amputate your leg, we're going to have to. But we went to prayer in the matter of 24 hours. How many know in here remember that things changed and he was healed and God touched him? And all of a sudden the doctors said, well, it wasn't the kind of infection we thought. Well, yes, it was. He changed it. It wasn't this and we thought it was that. Yes, it was. He healed him. And so he came out of the hospital with two small sores on his leg in an area where they had to do some surgery. And so everything's been going great, and we've been thanking God. Well, day before, I think it was Friday, a couple nurses came by. or Saturday, whatever day it was, these nurses came by. And they checked it. When they looked at his leg, they said, well, the incision's doing great, but these two places on your leg have gotten worse all of a sudden. And I'm telling you what had happened. He, as soon as they said that, they were putting everything in their little drawers and their little box and walking out the door as they were telling him, by the way, things look bad. He said, as soon as they said that and that door shut, all of a sudden, he said, fear just came on me like a cloud. And dread came on me, and depression came on me. And I thought, God, I thought everything was going to be better. And now this chant came back to me. My leg, I'm going to lose my leg. It's coming, it's going the other way. And this is what he said. He said that they got in their car and I heard their door slam and they backed down my driveway and they didn't even get to the road when my phone rang. And when my phone rang, I picked it up and he said, Sam, it was Pastor Shockley. And Pastor Shockley said, Kenny, I want to tell you, by the authority of the word and the name of Jesus, you've been healed. You're all right. Everything's going to be taken care of. You've already been healed. And he said, it couldn't have come at a better time. My friends, listen to me. When you're sitting in prison and your legs are in stocks and your back's been beaten because you've taken a stand for Christ, at midnight, the word will make sure that it comes and finds a resting place with you, and peace will overwhelm you. Now, the funny thing is that 2 days before that, or a day and a half before that, I'd call Pastor Shockley of 3 different prayer requests, actually in 2 days. And I said, I need you to pray for this one. I need you to pray for this one. I called back. I said, I need you to pray for Jimmy Hotz. He's had a stent put in. And then I said, and then I called again and said, I need you to pray for my brother Kenny, that God will just continue to heal him. I didn't know any of this was going on. Well, here's what's odd, and here's what's a little strange. Pastor Shockley got all the messages except for the one for Kenny. And then when he got the one for Kenny, it was delayed a day, a full day. And when he got it, he picked up the phone and called him, and it was when the nurses were driving out of the driveway. You see, God's timing is always right. He knows where you're at. He knows how to take care of you. He won't leave you or forsake you. When you move into the area of not just a relationship with a church or with a building or an organization, and you become grafted into the vine and you become a branch, your nutriment is going to come through the supernatural acts of God. I'm not talking about the baloney, that's a Greek word we use here a lot. I'm not talking about the baloney that you see on television where people are trying to get rich and famous using Jesus. I'm talking about the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ and truth of the word of God that tells you that when you accept him as your savior, you become a branch that's grafted into the true vine, and there's where life and life alone is found. You see, we know, we have to understand that it's in him and him alone that we can have this strength. In Mark chapter 5, the Bible says that Jesus is on the way to the house of a man named Jairus. And the Bible says a large crowd was following him and pressed around him. Now imagine this. There was a huge crowd. There may have been as many as 1,000 people. It wasn't unusual for Jesus to draw crowds of 5, 10, 15, 20,000. When he fed the 5,000 men, they had their wives and children with them. When he fed the 4,000 men, they had their wives and children with them. And Jesus came to an area and the crowd was around him. He could have been in an area twice the size of this room with 3 times as many people and him in the center and this big mass just moving slowly as he was walking. And the Bible says a large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. This is Mark chapter 5. You can see it in all of the synoptic gospels. I've chosen this one, though, for you to understand something about this word today. And she'd had this for 12 years. verse 26, chapter 5 of the book of Mark. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all that she had, yet instead of getting better, she had grown worse. And when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd. And the Bible says that she touched his cloak. She touched the hem of his garment. Have you ever heard that term? She touched the cords on his tallit. Here this man was walking who had the promises of God in small thread-like columns at the end of his robe that he was wearing, and the tassels were around that back in Leviticus and Deuteronomy that the word and the law put into effect, said these stand for these things. And she said, if I can just grab hold of the hem, if I can grab hold of one of the tassels, if I can touch his cloak, I believe this. I believe that there's healing in this man based on what I know, based on what I understand. And the Bible says that she touched, if I can touch his clothes, I'll be healed. And immediately the bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was free from the suffering. My friends, listen to me. When you're healed by a supernatural touch from God, you know it. There's no question about it. She knew it. And as she was healed, here's what happened. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. And he turned around in the crowd and asked his disciples this question, who touched me? Now remember, he's standing in the middle of maybe 1,000 people. They've got him like this, and they're moving him around. The disciples are slapping their hands and pushing them back and trying to keep them. And Jesus is walking, being pressed, and somebody touches the corner of his cloak, his robe, not even his body, just his cloak. And he stops and says, wait, just a second. Who touched me? And his disciples are going, are you nuts? What's wrong with you? What do you mean, who touched you? Look at the people around. You can't even breathe. The oxygen's been sucked out of the air, and you want to know who touched you? I'm going to tell you, my friends, that's the difference in having a topical relationship and believing that he is able. Yes. When you believe he's able, you can touch the corner of the cloak of the master, and power will come out of him. It'll come out of him, and it'll come into you. And whatever your need is, whatever situation you have, wherever you're at, it will be met. You see, the power of God knows no bounds. It knows no blocks. It knows no race, creed, or color. It knows no limitation. It only understands the power of God will do what needs to be done in your life if you have the courage to touch the cloak of the garment of Jesus Christ. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out of him. He turned around and asked the crowd, who touched me? And here's what his disciples said. You see the people crowding against you, his disciples answered. And yet you ask, who touched me? Jesus kept looking around. He kept waiting to see who it was. He knew he'd know. And all of a sudden, silence fell on this crowd, and they're going, hold it, wait, something's weird going on here. It was weird to them. It wasn't to him. Because he knew power had gone out. And he stood there, and finally this little lady comes up and falls in front of him and goes, hey, you know, if I've done something, maybe, stop. He said, wait, just a second. Let me just see what happened. Your faith changed everything for you. You connected to the vine. You understand that you couldn't do it. You've tried. You went to the doctor. You did everything you could do physically. You did everything you could do financially. You did everything you knew you could do religiously. But spiritually, it was different. And when you heard that I was here, you understood that I was different. And you touched me. And when you did, power came out. And when she came, I noticed, and with little or no concern for her by anyone, She brought with her the classic criteria for conflict. A confrontation of an offense. Offensive nature that challenged the authority of the word. She had a sickness that couldn't be healed. The difference was a woman had enough and made the decision to move from a passive, powerless existence to a position of power by acting on what she believed to be true. Did you hear that? Listen to this again as the Holy Spirit gave me. The difference in your life will be this. The difference was a woman who had had enough and made the decision to move from a passive, powerless existence to a position of power by acting on what she believed to be true, said this, if I can just touch. That was her part. Did you hear me? That was her part. The hem of his garment, that's the point of his promise. Because I know what, she knew what Leviticus said, she knew what Deuteronomy said. I will be made whole. You see, I'll gain the power to have my request met. The capstone was determination on the part of a woman living sick of living in her own means and her own abilities. The result was predestined by God, by the Word of God, and sealed by the cross of Jesus Christ. Do you understand there's no difference between the woman's situation and your situations here today? Some of you have physical needs that say, I need a physical touch from the Master. Some of you have emotional, relational needs. Some of you have spiritual needs above everything that said, I need a touch. You see, the capstone was determination on the part of a woman sick of living in her own means and her own ability. The results were predestined by the Word of God and sealed by the cross of Jesus. Sick of living in your own means and your own abilities? See, when you make the decision to follow Jesus Christ through the miracle of divine redemption, you're grafted into the vine and you become a branch. Did you hear me? How many know Jesus Christ is your Savior? Say amen. Amen. Then listen to me. Then you've become a branch. You're part of that grapevine. And with Jesus in your life, it's impossible for you to be anything less than a branch. Did you hear that? Do you know that you can't be less than? Listen to me one more time. I need to make that clear to you, those of you who are discouraged. Those of you who think God doesn't hear. Those that are sitting here and wondering where God's at in this situation. I want you to understand that what I just read to you, that you cannot be anything less than a branch when you come to Jesus Christ. And that branch is nourished and made powerful to bear fruit through the nutriments of the vine who is Jesus. Conflicts are part of our life. But above all, power in God cannot be prevented if you just reach out and touch Him. You see, you're a branch and He's the vine. This woman found that power came when she made that determination to understand He can do it. He's able. And I know He will today. If you'll stand to your feet with me, I want to ask you about three questions very quickly.